Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
Kristen Davis, of course, became known as the Manhattan Madam when the downfall of Elliot Spitzer came. You know, with all the headlines with General Petraeus and the women involved, do you have any advice to them about how to handle this this newfound fame?
You know, I think my major advice is for them to just know that it doesn't last forever. You know, so if they feel like their lives are being intruded upon and press is waiting outside their house, you know, in 2 weeks this will blow over and they can get back to trying to have a normal life. However, you know, with that said, everything that you say is being scrutinized, so, you know, try to behave yourself.
Yeah, well, so when, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know it says here in your bio that you were raised in a trailer park in Fresno. How did you end up getting to New York?
You know, I was fortunate enough to have a mother who put me first, and I went to private school my entire life, got loans to do that. I went to college in San Francisco. I have a bachelor's degree, a master's in psychology. I ended up getting into finance and working my way up the corporate ladder, so to speak, and hitting the glass ceiling as a woman in finance. I ended up as vice president of operations of a hedge fund. Moved to New York for a high-profile job with a high-profile hedge fund. The sex industry is sort of intertwined with finance because a lot of traders and portfolio managers behave badly and they make a lot of money, and it the firm looks the other way because they make so much money for the firm. And so I was used to seeing them using escorts and strippers and all these other things, but especially on company money also. So it wasn't an industry that was unfamiliar to me, but I also had a situation where I had my mother who was sick, and I was in a position where I was probably going to need to support her, and I was looking for other businesses to start to supplement my income, and this just happened to be the one that I chose. Reading about it in the newspaper and saying, you know what, that I could do with a little investment, and it was something that I wasn't sure whether or not I could make work. And then I posted on Craigslist to see if girls would respond to a hiring ad, and I got fired from my job the next day, and I said, I guess I'm going into this business.
And why did you get fired from your job?
For using the business system for personal use, because I posted a hiring ad for escorts on Craigslist just to see if girls would respond. I had no idea how to find women when I was initially just thinking about it, and then thinking about it became reality very quickly because I got fired.
So you used your hedge fund computer to do that ad?
I sure did. Okay. I was working 14 hours a day. It's not like I ever saw my home computer.
Wow.
So, and it was an 8-person office, so I didn't think me being one of the top 3 people in the firm didn't think that they would have the resources to monitor something like that.
I noticed in your bio that one of your clients was Muammar Gaddafi.
Right.
What was he like?
Nice. I mean, he spent a lot of money, obviously, and you know, he treated the girls very respectfully, but he was very businesslike, which was good. But he was a regular client.
Hmm. And Elliot Spitzer?
Very regular client. Not so good, though.
All right. When the whole thing broke, what was your reaction when the press started hounding you?
Well, I was in jail. I was in Rikers Island, so I had no idea that I was on the cover of the tabloids or that the news stations were talking about me. I was sitting in a jail cell for 4 months, so I had no idea what was going on until I got out of jail, and then I saw that, you know, obviously the press can say whatever they want about you when you can't defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So there, I was demonized, and you know, so I was a party girl, and I had a, you know, all these awful things being said about me, and it was initially very hurtful to see, because I ran a pro-women agency where I told the women, set your boundaries, stick to them. I will support you 100% if you ever don't want to see a client, if you ever don't want to do something. You know, it wasn't the way people had portrayed me.
Now, down in the Boston area here in New Hampshire as well, there's been a number of busts of high-profile escort agencies.
I operated in Boston. I operated in five cities. I had an apartment over in Back Bay.
Really?
Yes, I used to go there maybe once a month and do a hiring spree for a couple of days right by Copley Place. I actually, before, when I was working in hedge funds, I worked at 100 Summer Street at Bice's Hedge Fund Management in Boston and lived in Quincy.
Wow.
So I'm very familiar with the area. I've been back and forth to Mass for, 8 years now.
So are you still back and forth to Mass now?
No, I did own a house in the Providence area, and when I went to jail, I had to forfeit all of my assets. So everything I owned was taken, my money, I came out of jail homeless, penniless, and friendless, and I had to rebuild my life, and I'm very fortunate to be given some of the opportunities that I've been given that have helped me. Otherwise, I came out of jail, and I went from being in a high-rise apartment, having millions of dollars, to sleeping on a couch and trying to figure out how to pay, to eat. So
it almost sounds like your life is a lifetime movie.
It definitely is.
Yeah, and it actually is. The Manhattan Madam, Kristen Davis, will be on My Life is a Lifetime Movie Wednesday, November 14th at 10 o'clock on Lifetime Channel. What exactly is the show about?
The show's, it's only an hour, so how much can you fit into an hour? It's primarily about, my short-term period of my life as being a madam and how I got there. And it highlights sort of, the question about, if you have a family member, what would you do for them to help them? To what extent would you commit a crime? Would you, and if so, what level of crime is acceptable if you're trying to save them or help them? And it shows some of the, there's a very interesting interview from a girl who used to work for me. So she talks about her experience as a high-end escort, seeing some of these clients. So it's pretty interesting.
See, I happen to think that the whole thing should be decriminalized anyway. I think it's a victimless crime, and it's really ridiculous that prosecutors take our money to enforce prostitution laws. That's my own feeling about the whole thing. Since prostitution is legal in some areas of the country, have you thought about opening business elsewhere?
It's only legal in Nevada with populations of under 400,000, and which means that your clientele is mostly like truck drivers, and it's not those industries out there. It's run very differently, and I know girls that have been out there and had such bad experiences. I haven't had any desire to, and I do believe. I'm there with you, obviously, that I think it should be legal. However, I'm not sure that I believe that there should be people like madams or pimps telling the girls what to do with their body. If a girl chooses to, then that's, her prerogative and it should be her choice. But I don't believe that in hindsight, after going through what I've been through, that people should be in the position to tell a girl what to do with her body.
No, I agree with you. I think it should be up to the woman to make a decision. Unfortunately, some of the problems with prostitution that have been laid at the door of the whole industry is those who are forced to serve when they're underage or when they're against their will.
Right, and it's a cause I care about. I have a nonprofit, WeStopTrafficking.com, that we put out some reports on sex trafficking, and we put together a street team to try to help some girls. So it is something I'm active with, and it's a very fine line. Even when you talk about Nevada, those girls have a pimp and a madam, so to speak, and are doing what they're instructed to do. So it's sort of a fine line even there when you think about it. They don't have the choice to turn down a appointment. If they don't want to see somebody, they're forced to do that. So, they're there willingly, but I believe in the full legalization of it from a business standpoint.
Yeah, I kind of understand that. A lot of people have this pretty woman thing in their heads that's the way things are, and that's not a realistic portrayal of the industry.
No, and I say that often. I said people have that image, and I say, that's what the stuff movies are made out of. That's not how it really goes down in real life.
So what are you spending most of your time doing now?
You know, this last year I was actually the finance chair for Gary Johnson for president, the libertarian candidate who was on the ballot in 48 states.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent a lot of time working on the campaign. I ran for governor of New York in 2010, and I will most likely run for mayor in 2013.
Well, I would wish you a lot of luck with whatever you're doing. And we want to remind people that Kristen will be seen on My Life. It's a Lifetime movie, and that's on Wednesday, November 14th, on Lifetime. Thanks so much for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me on the air.
Take care.